from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday morning, a Trillville Thursday morning. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good, Andy Bunker, on this Trillville Thursday as we are closer and closer to the weekend. And as you say, there is an actual football game on tonight.
Yes.
Hall of Fame game, which is, you know, cool. We know that Chicago's
right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game
is not playing. We know that.
You can check that game out right here on this very radio station.
But and D'Amico Miko has not said whether his guys are going to play.
They're not going to play. but that's okay.
But it's crazy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I played in one Hall of Fame game. I played seven plays.
Okay.
All right. I remember all seven plays. Played in seven plays.
Yeah. But back when guys played.
Exactly. I heard.
If it was now, you wouldn't play.
No, I wouldn't play. Well, Aaron Rodgers even said, back then, guys played. We all played in preseason. But yeah. But yeah, it's a football game on tonight as the season is closer and closer and everything. You got two superstar young quarterbacks, probably. You got C.J. Stroud, who, you know, I know he's not going to play, but the expectations for the guy that they're going against is like him. Because
if you want to tune in tonight and listen to broadcasters talk about guys while they show them on camera not play,
eating sunflower
then
seeds.
You got two superstar quarterbacks in the building tonight.
Eating sunflower seeds and everything like that. Yep. That's what you're going to see tonight.
That's what you're going to see.
Yes, that's exactly what you're going to see.
But you know what? It's going to be televised. Semi-football.
Yes.
And you might, who will you see? Tim Boyle, maybe, play quarterback?
Okay.
Davis Mills is the backup in Houston. Is he going to, maybe?
Yeah, he'll play.
He'll play?
Yeah, they might be trying to find some value for him.
Maybe. Who knows? You know, you might get a chance to see him go. And then, I don't know, like maybe there's a guy from your favorite college team that isn't probably going to make the team that might get out there and play tonight.
It's a possibility.
Now, this is the thing. For these guys that are playing in this game tonight, it's awesome.
Yes.
Like, especially if you're an undrafted rookie or maybe you're a late round rookie, whatever, you get to put on an NFL uniform today and go out there.
So cool.
In Canton, Ohio, by the way, where the Hall of Fame is, and be a part of all this stuff. So, yeah, I know. We tend to have a little bit of fun with how few guys play anymore, but also pay legitimate respect to what is actually happening tonight for some of these guys, which, you know, maybe the most NFL quote unquote football that some of these guys ever play. And that's really cool because most guys don't even get to do that.
Yep.
So a dream is being realized by many folks tonight, and you can watch it or listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man. And obviously there'll be the Olympics still going on and everything like that. I saw the men's team, Embiid didn't play, so is everybody enraged about that? I don't know.
Some people are.
Who gives a damn?
Can I just a quick PSA for those people?
Let me hear.
You got to rid yourself of legacy brain. Like, the way that basketball has been covered for so long now has poisoned people's minds into making every single game, whether it's an Olympic game or a playoff game or a game that's on TNT or whatever, into this weird referendum on the legacy of the guy.
Yes.
Right? And and so if you're a modern basketball fan, there's a chance that you've been infected with legacy brain.
Yes.
You've got to stop.
Yep.
You've got to stop. Like,
let it go.
It's the Olympics.
Guys
are going to be used differently. It happens every single year. Like, you go back to different dream teams, different Olympic teams, whatever. Guys are in and out of the rotations versus different opponents and all that kind of stuff. And here's the thing about Joel Embiid. He hadn't been playing good.
No.
So maybe it was an opportunity to get him to rest a little bit. None of the starters played particularly good yesterday, which was okay because the second unit, probably the best five basketball players right now in the world when they play together. I don't know that anybody could beat those guys.
Bam, bam, Bigelow came in that thing.
Their, their defense is astounding when they get those five guys on the court together. And they smoked South Sudan like they were going to. They're going to do the same thing to Puerto Rico next game.
Puerto
and they're
Rico,
probably going to do the same thing to every team all the way to another gold medal. There's going to be different games where different guys play less. You don't have to buy into the nonsense about it. It's what happens in the Olympics. Now, if you want to be legacy brain weirdo and pretend that you have to live your life based on the way that some guy on TV lives his, pretends to live his, by the way, because none of these guys actually care as much about the stuff they pretend to care about on TV, then you can. But if you want to open your mind up and live a more calm existence, a more zen existence, free yourself of legacy brain, because it's no way to be.
Wow.
No way to be.
Right? But yeah, so obviously that went down. And yesterday afternoon, some good signs from the Braves. Back to back, back to back. Kind of was like, this looks kind of familiar here, Andy. They're hitting home runs.
Yeah.
I know they were all solo, but kind of hitting home runs, man. And Chris Sale was good. He got a little trouble later on, couldn't finish out the inning and everything. You saw his whatever, but it looked good. I don't know if it's the Soler effect or whatever you want to call it. But it looks good because they're doing the ultimate thing. They're winning.
Yeah.
They're winning, and they're hitting home runs by doing it. And a guy that is struggling has been hitting the long ball pretty good as of late. Talking about Matt Olson.
Yeah.
And if that's the sign that he is whatever, coming out of a slump or whatever you want to call it, so be it. Not going to believe it. Just going to enjoy it when he does good stuff.
Yeah, that would be the sign of it, though, is if Matt Olson's hitting home runs, because that's what he does.
Yes.
I mean, he's not really going to hit for average. Even in good years, his average tends to be kind of, you know, where it is. But two home runs yesterday. Over the last week, he's hit a number of them. He's catching up to fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the guy that if he's going to be his best, he's going to hit fastballs. He hadn't hit fastballs this year. Why? I don't know. I don't know why Matt Olson would hit 56 home runs or however many damn home runs he hit last year and have 17 at this point this year. But if he gets hot now and has a great final 2 months of the season, and like we talked about yesterday and kind of repeatedly talk about when we talk about the Braves, if he gets hot at the right time, which is at the end of the season and in October, then no one really cares.
No.
Like, he hit 50-plus home runs last year and they lost in the first round of the playoffs. If he hits 30 home runs this year and they win the World Series,
love it.
No one will care what happened in July and June and all that kind of stuff. Also, a lot of Braves fans won't know because they hadn't been able to watch for the last three months. And if you're one of those people who maybe hasn't even really watched a game since May 1st when they went off, right? You've missed a lot, but none of it's been that great, right?
Yeah, you missed nothing.
Like, they've been under 500 since they were off Comcast,
right?
So maybe they cut because they were 19-9 on May 1st. And then all that's happened is like Acuna got hurt. Nobody can hit. Albies is hurt. You made some trades for some guys that used to be here. There's going to be some elderly people that turn on the game tonight that are convinced that they're going crazy.
Yes.
They're like, wait a minute, is that Jorge Soler?
What the hell's going on?
Where's Ronald Acuna? Is that Luke Jackson with a different number? What's happening? Like, because I mean, I don't know. It's been one of the weirdest 3 months of baseball that we've seen, but that's also what happens every single season. Every season's weird, which is why sports are so great. But, like, if you're one of these people that just kind of checks in on a nightly or semi-nightly basis on TV but doesn't care to go much deeper than that, and tonight's your first night going back now that it's resolved between Bally and Comcast,
right.
There's a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of bad stuff has happened.
Yeah, I mean, so, but you look at where they are right now. I mean, the Yankees are doing you a big favor. As you know, they continue to beat the Phillies and everything like that, and you're winning. And you got the damn Marlins, all right? You got the damn Marlins coming up.
Okay? And they traded everybody.
And they traded every damn body. Don't go down. Is it here? Yeah, you got the Marlins. Don't trick it off against a hard. And they are a bad, bad baseball team, Andy. And just like, you know, where I was talking about, they get rid of all their talent. They kept their talent. They might have they would be one of the best teams. They kept the talent.
Oh, just like over the last decade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just kept the talent.
Yeah.
And developed the talent.
Why don't they?
And let baseball
they just don't want to. I don't know. They don't want to pay them.
They don't want to pay them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But if they kept the lineup, kept the players that they have, I mean, you'd be amazed how good they'd probably be.
Yeah.
Luckily, they won two World Series.
Luckily they don't, because we've benefited from it.
The league has benefited from the Marlins.
Yeah. Do they still get to do that? Like, do you still get to be like, yeah, they've won two World Series. It's been 20 years.
But they won.
Right? They did.
They won them.
They did. But, I mean, you know, that was ages ago. They did. They won them. But nonetheless, yeah, you got a bad baseball team that hopefully you can capitalize against. You're right. The Phillies got smoked by the Yankees. Thank you to the Yankees. Not something you always say. Jazz Chisholm, by the way, is one of the guys they traded now on the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Doing awesome.
Yes.
Not surprisingly, but now people will actually get to see him play because he didn't play for them anymore. And you're in a fine spot. You're going to get Max Fried back. You're going to get Ronaldo Lopez back. We talked to Grant earlier in the week. It sounds like Ozzy Albies maybe on a quicker path to return than originally thought. And great. I mean, you know, it's, again, back to the same thing that has sort of been the default. It's true, but the default setting when talking about the Braves this year is, well, as long as you get hot at the right time, mm-hmm. then fine. Just go ahead and do it.
When is the right time?
Now, I guess.
Exactly. I guess now. Let's go and get this thing going.
Because, like, every time they suck for a while, like, well, you know, it better to suck now than, like, yeah. No, I mean, I guess.
I think we're a little bit past that part.
I think it's a really boring thing to say every time the Braves came up, but that's what everyone says every time they talk about them.
I think we're a little bit past that.
It's like, well, you know, October.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we need to get going.
They play 162 of them. We talk about all of them.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, but October, you know, every time, then what's the point of talking about them? Anyway. Today is August 1st, and hopefully the Braves start playing like the Braves are capable of playing, hitting like the Braves are capable of hitting. Travis d'Arnaud's been hot. Olsen looks better. Riley's been hot. Soler's back. Hopefully everything is good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Matt Olson gets a hold of this out to left center field. At the wall, it's gone. Atlanta's on the board, courtesy of an Olson solo shot. And the Braves make it 2-1, and hold that thought. It's going to be 2-2, back-to-back. Darno ties us up in Milwaukee. Facing Matt Olson. Olson out to right center field. That ball's hit deep, and that ball is out of here into Toyota territory. Two home run game for Matt Olson, and Atlanta adds on in the eighth. Travis Darno, are they going to do it again? Deep left center, yes! Twice today, back to back for Matt Olson and Travis Darno.
That's always cool. I mean, yeah, you just never, you know, you don't see that very often from guys. Haven't seen very many Braves go back-to-back this season at all, just given how the power has kind of been. But for guys to go back-to-back twice in the same game is nuts. And, you know, fitting that it was those two guys, given the way that they've been over the last, I would say, honestly, month for Darno. Travis Darno has been – he batted 370 in July.
Yep.
That's crazy. And then over the last week, Olson's been kind of back as well. So hopefully that can continue for him. Austin Riley with a clutch hit with the bases loaded was great to see.
It barely got through.
It did,
too.
But it got it through. One where, like, a month ago, the play definitely
There's
gets
no
made.
Way it's happening.
Yeah, definitely gets made, and the Braves don't score any runs, and that's the way that inning ends. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe things are turning a little bit for this baseball team. Like, we said this, I don't know if it was 21 when we said this. It might have been about the Georgia football team. I don't know. But, like, a lot of bad stuff has happened. And every year, a lot of bad stuff happens. A lot of good stuff happens, right?
Right.
Maybe all the bad stuff has already happened.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
And maybe now all the good stuff will be jam-packed into the back end of the season.
Let's hope so.
You know?
Let's hope so.
It's possible. Because a lot of bad stuff has happened to the Braves this year.
Gosh, MVP player, your Cy Young win, Cy Young.
Yeah.
Pitcher,
yeah.
Your runner. I don't know where he was last year in MVP, but one of the, you know, guy to lead the majors in home runs, the RBIs.
Can't hit.
Your sitting third baseman. Your prospect of Michael Harris.
Yeah, he's been out.
I mean, yeah,
Ozzie's out. Murphy missed 2 months. Like,
it's right, he went out the first swing.
First swing, he was just out.
First swing
for 2 months.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they got all the bad stuff out of the way first, and now things are going to be better from here.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Because it's a lot more fun to talk about a winning baseball team, which they have been the last couple of days. They beat the Brewers in the series. They had a winning road trip back home against the Marlins, who aren't very good this weekend. Hopefully, they can take advantage of that. In the 3 months they didn't play on Comcast,
yep,
they were one game under 500.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of what it was. Right?
Now they're back.
They were 10 games over 500 when they went off.
And some of those great, loyal Braves fans, like Miss Libby, that couldn't watch the game, now she gets to watch him. Bringing that great, what you call our boat, Gregory?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bringing that great Gregory back.
All the older Braves fans.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yeah, that Gregory.
Gray. We'll call it Gray.
Gray, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
They're going to be back tonight, baby.
They ain't changing.
No.
They ain't switching.
They weren't going to buy some streaming service.
They are not doing it.
They don't even know how.
I won't watch it.
Yeah, all man.
Right? I don't care. I won't watch
it.
Oh,
all right. Well, I guess we'll have to do something else.
Yep.
They might have turned the radio on.
Maybe.
You never know. No? Probably not?
No.
All right. Well, they'll be back tonight. And hopefully the Braves will meet them right where they need to meet them and play some good baseball. Anyway, let's hear from Kirk Cousins. He was on with the morning show guys earlier today. Here he is talking about the offense.
I'm very aware of the fact that, you know, perception right now is that our offense is going to be really, really great. We got all these great players, and I just think that's only perception. And it's our job, like today, working to make it reality. And so I don't really care much about perception. I don't care at all. I care about reality and making sure that that's actually what it is this fall. And until we go do it, I don't really feel any assurance from that. So every day there's just that work ethic to make sure it's a no doubter that it's going to happen.
Well, we know one thing. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
Yeah, that's not a lie.
It's not a lie. He's not embellishing.
Nope.
He's not.
He does not care about perception.
Truths. He does not care.
That is the straight. That is the real deal right there from Kirk Cousins. The man is refuses to lie.
He refuses to lie. We know exactly.
And I agree with what
about.
He said. Like, it's real easy to look at the Falcons offense on paper. We've done it and be like, yeah, these guys should be good. Now they better be good. Like the perception better turn into reality. But he's right. We don't know it until we see it. But that's the whole thing. Like this whole thing anchors on whether or not those guys are good. Because I think the defense can be good, and hopefully there'll be guys that sort of overachieve and surprise and stuff like that. They'll benefit from the offense being good too. But the offense better be good.
Yeah, hell yeah! You went and got this guy.
A lot of money spent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, was it fifth highest?
Fifth highest offensive group in the league.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's quarterback. You know what it is? Quarterback and offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody else on the skill makes the money. I mean, Moody got a nice deal.
Yeah. But that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. That's all. That's all the offensive linemen getting paid second contracts, except for the left guard. It's the quarterback being on a $100 million deal. It's also a first round quarterback as well. But there's a bunch of first round skill position guys, top 10 skill position guys. But yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. They got eight first rounders on their offense, on their start offense.
Yeah, I know. But remember, it was like a couple years ago, they had all 11.
Yeah.
It was got 11 first rounders on offense.
Oh, yeah. I remember that crap.
And then I think they went 7-10 that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, left tackle's a first rounder. Left guard's not. Center's not. Right guard is, right tackle is. Quarterback's not.
No.
But backup quarterback is.
So six.
Yeah.
Six.
And it's funny because the guy who makes the most money and is the most important was actually a fourth round draft pick.
Yes, he was.
But then the backup quarterback was the first round draft pick. And then Bijan's the first round draft pick. And then all your guys you're throwing it to, for the most part, I don't know, where was Moody drafted?
I don't know.
In the first round.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway.
I remember that.
Yeah. He's right. He's right. There is a lot of expectation and assumption and, you know, whatever other sort of like predictory words you want to use for what this offense may look like being talked about right now. But that's all we can do. I mean, all we can do is talk about what's on paper and what you see in practice. But perception better become reality. Otherwise, this is going to be a terrible football season.
Yeah, it's a fail if it's not. I mean, this is going to be an offensive-driven team. We understand that. You don't go get Kirk Cousins or not. I know that Joe Patrick, who's going to be on with us later in the show, talks more, and I'm kind of with him a little bit on it as far as running the football and wanting to focus more on Bijan and everything like that. But you're going to have to throw the football in this league to win, to advance. You're going to have to be able to throw the football. And for Kirk, it's a thing where you got to get everybody – where everybody's clicking, and it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be some hiccups in the Pittsburgh game. I know they're going to talk about it. We don't know if they're going to play in the preseason. We know he's not going to play.
Yep.
But there's going to be some hiccups in the Pittsburgh game. How do you overcome that and everything like that? Because, like, if the pressure gets too big, like last year when the pressure got too much for the quarterback here, mistakes happen. Not necessarily going to happen with Kirk. Now, are mistakes going to happen? Yeah, every quarterback, everything, everybody makes, you know, throws a bad ball and things like that. But it's not going to be as much as you see that, like those red zone interceptions, not going to happen.
No, the mistakes that get made this year are going to be normal quarterback mistakes that are made because you're playing against other excellent players.
Right.
The mistakes that were made last year were stuff that's just unacceptable, and the year before too, honestly. And then beyond that, just mental stuff that had been happening over the last couple of years before that. So hopefully, it all starts from the top. Coaching staff and all that, but quarterback as far as the players go, and then it trickles down from there. Because last year the quarterback decision making was as
bad.
I mean, as bad as you're ever going to see. But there's a lot of other decisions that were made by non quarterback players over the last handful of years too that were like unacceptably bad.
Right.
So you know maybe there's a bigger margin for error than there has been the last couple of years because the quarterback play is better and because the offense is going to be able to score more points. You would have to think that, but. Yeah, there will be mistakes. Of course there will. Although there'll be a lot more mistakes early because they won't get the reps together that you'd like to see them get together. Mm-hmm. They're not going to play in preseason. When you watch the first couple games in September, no matter what team you're talking about, it's just sloppy. there's more penalties. There's more holding. There's more.
It's a lot.
There's
like
more
how
bad
the,
routes.
It's,
run.
It's a lot like the first their pads.
Like when preseason used to be played.
Yes.
That's like what that looked like.
Yes.
And then they would kind of work it out. And then, yeah, now they kind of do it in games that count.
Yes. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
As long as we win it, as long as we win the game, then we'll be all right.
Tired as hell. Well, he'd be like, damn, let's play a total of 16 plays all preseason. Yeah. Now I'm out here for 70.
Let me get 70 plays against
in.
The best football players in the world.
70 plays in 100-degree temperature.
Say we're playing an outdoor game in Miami or something like that, and it just happens to be a billion degrees outside.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, might have been nice to get my might have been nice to get some of these reps. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Man.
Everybody's breathing hard. We're fine. Everybody's sucking wind. But everything that he says there is right. You can check out that entire interview on the website. We had Terry Fontenot on the show yesterday as well. You can hear that 15-minute conversation on the Andy and Randy page. We'll let you hear a bit more of it and a bit more of Kirk Cousins coming up in about half an hour in an NFL no huddle. No Falcons guests today, outside of Joe Patrick, of course, because there's no practice today.
Yeah. They're getting ready to have a little show and tell down there at the stadium tomorrow. They'll be there with full pads and everything like that, situational and things like that, where the fans can actually come in. $5, right,
Buck? $5.
$5 to get in.
It all goes to charity.
To get in and watch your football team play down at the building, down there at the Benz. It should be a lot of fun. It should be a lot of energy. We talked already about the whole season tickets and everything being sold out. So it does seem like it's a little excitement towards this football team. And, go out there and just show out.
How many teams in the NFL sell out their allotment for season tickets on an annual basis?
I have no clue.
Doesn't it seem like most?
I would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so.
Hang on, and that's not an attempt to rain on a parade or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that's good, and you should sell them out. That doesn't necessarily mean all the people that bought the season tickets are going. Because they'll flip those things real quick for a nice profit.
And you look at the teams that are coming in early.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, you can get a pretty penny for some of them. You can, like, pay your whole season ticket cost and start making money off a couple of those games. Don't do that. Don't do that. I want you to be in the building rooting for the Falcons. But I don't know. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's great. I wonder, because I've only covered the Seahawks and the Patriots and the Falcons. Those guys sell their season tickets out every year. For a couple, like a little bit,
okay.
You know, like here and there, stringer stuff. And then like for the radio station at BU. But like, you know, they sell their season tickets out every year, you know.
So multiple years in advance.
Yeah, sometimes there's a wait list for some of these things. Like that's what, anyway, just don't sell them to other people.
Yeah.
That's really all that there is to it. Hall of Fame game tonight, Bears-Texans.
Yeah.
Or like a reasonable facsimile of Bears-Texans. A lot of guys that you're used to or expecting or hoping to see in the season probably won't be playing tonight, but that's all right. It'll be on TV and get you a little taste.
That's it.
Here's Bam Adebayo dunking.
Oh, hurry. Oh, he's dancing.
Yeah, I mean, Bam was really good.
Yes, he was.
Bam was really, really good yesterday.
You know
why?
Because he's really good.
Yes, Bam's a great player, man. But I'm just like, you know, Joel Embiid didn't start. Jason Tatum's in the starting line. His first shot, he hit the side of the damn backboard, which I was like, damn, dog.
And then the next one was like an air ball.
Yeah, I was like,
ooh.
Damn, dog.
He's taking that personal that he got benched last game.
Yeah, but I mean, they went out, and I thought defensively they were just on it.
Yep.
They were just on it. The way they moved the basketball, and guys are buying in, and Ant-Man is buying in. He's like, yeah, let me go play some defense. I mean, he has some nice plays. Obviously, the three-pointer with like 2 seconds left in the game. I don't know, because the qualification, they were like, if you had a certain score or something like that, you still can advance on and things like that. And I think
– just to be safe.
Just to be safe.
In case the Puerto Ricans jump up and get
him. Just to be safe.
Okay.
Ant-Man hits the three and everything. But, yeah, it was Embiid didn't play. He's still getting booed by all the French folk because he didn't want to play for y'all damn team, which is whatever. Have y'all seen him? Y'all sure y'all don't want him? Yeah, as bad as he's been.
Yeah, I know. You guys should be happy he didn't want to play for you.
You sure about
Joel
that?
Because Embiid only played the first 2.5 minutes of the last game,
too.
And then they took him out. And he was not good. Like, he has not been good. He wasn't good in the warm-up games. He was not good in the brief stint that he played at the beginning of the game against Serbia, and he didn't play in this last game. And I don't know. I'm not anti-Joel Embiid, like, in general, the way that some people are. But ever since they put this roster together and we started watching him play, I've been anti-Joel Embiid as a part of this group.
Right.
It didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
all he does is stop everything good from happening.
Right.
He's a great player.
Yes.
And is deserving MVP and helps the Sixers – sometimes when he's available. But for this team, no benefit.
No.
Like, there's zero reason to play him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so if they don't play him anymore, then that's fine.
He's supposed to start against Puerto Rico.
He is going to start against Puerto Rico.
But I like what Halliburton got here. Halliburton came in just two straight quick threes.
Yeah, because he's kind of the Christian Leitner
of
this group.
He's like, man, I'm over here, man. I'm about to go to a fashion show after this or something.
Because that's what happened against Serbia. He didn't play, neither did Tatum.
Right.
He knew he wasn't going to play. He's waving towels on the sideline, cheering. Tatum's
at least
over there.
Embiid was cheering. Tatum just sitting over there.
Just kind of pouty.
Where were they? Mope mile.
Kind of sad.
Mope mile. But
I get it. I'd be sad too. Jason Tatum has never played 0 minutes in a game he was healthy in his life.
Ever.
In his whole life. And all of a sudden, he just won the NBA championship, got $300 million. And the first game, Steve Kerr's like, get a nice, comfortable chair over there, Jason.
303 women. Is that Ryan?
You ain't getting
Ryan?
In.
Is that Ryan?
Yeah, they're not very good. Neither are the men. They've both lost.
Hold on. Jimmer tricked it off?
They're 0-2.
Damn, Jimmer.
I know. We had a lot of faith in you, Jimmer. Guess not. I don't know. All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Georgia football starts practice today. Talk a little college football coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, Trillville Thursday. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Get back into some more of what Kirk Cousins had to say on the radio station, some more of what Terry Fontenot had to say to us yesterday as well. And just, all the, and there's a lot of them, interesting storylines going on around all the different training camps. You just threw a pretty intriguing trade scenario.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Involving the wide, because look, it's such a different landscape right now in terms of what these wide receivers are getting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like once a week there's another record-setting wide receiver contract. Whether it's the franchise never paid a wide receiver that much, or no wide receiver in NFL history has made much.
Andy, I think I got the stat right. I think it said in 2020 or 2021, it was three receivers that made 20 plus. Mm-hmm. Now it's like 11.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you got guys making 30 plus.
Yeah, man. It's amazing how that that market had just flew the way it was. Yeah. It was questions somebody asked. They'd be like, what's more important, a franchise wide receiver or a franchise changing pass rusher? I said pass rusher.
And I agree with that.
I
agree with that.
I mean, pass rusher.
Yeah, pass rusher.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Guys that can. Not to say that you don't benefit from great teammates, but like guys that can individually be great. Because you have the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
And you got,
Exactly.
You got
Exactly.
Timmy back there throwing it to
exactly.
him. Exactly. You know what I
mean? So, yeah, I definitely would take the pass rusher.
I would, too.
Over a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so
But the market, the market is
it
about
is
equal.
It is.
About
it is
equal
it is,
on those
man.
Positions right now.
It is. And that's one of those things where, the running back market, it capped. It is going down. Does the receiver market ever cap?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I mean, that's the thing about it. It's like, it's going to keep going up.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the rules are what they are, because the rules aren't going backwards. You know what I mean?
You remember when Matt Ryan got to 30 per year?
Uh-huh.
And now they're at 55?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be more than that, really soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, it's part of it is certainly the way the league is going with the passing and all that kind of stuff, but it's also just salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the salary cap just goes up over and over and over again, and that's not going anywhere, obviously, as these broadcast rights deals keep getting crazier and crazier. Speaking of the market, I want to mention this because we're going to get into some college football, and there's some big Georgia news to get into in just a minute. But they passed an NIL rule that allows the NIL collectives and the athletes, and obviously you have to agree to it, but basically transparency in NIL, so you can see who's getting what and where they're getting it from.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial reaction is like, I don't know. Like, if I had an NIL deal, I'd probably just keep it to myself, my business, whatever.
Right.
But then you think about those markets, right? And like, if Jamar Chase didn't know what Justin Jefferson got from Minnesota,
he
wouldn't know what to ask for.
Right.
So the idea of these guys making their NIL deals public might actually benefit everybody. You know what I mean? Because, okay, so I'm the best wide receiver at my school, and I know the best wide receiver over there is getting this.
Okay.
Well, I want that too, or more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like, because market knowledge allows you to
negotiate.
You
think it's going to get better?
It's probably going to help these guys.
Oh, help them. Oh, I thought he's going to get better. No, it ain't going to get better. As far as...
Oh, I mean, I'm better for the athlete.
Oh, yeah, better for the athlete.
Better for the athlete.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But better for everything else? No, it's not.
No, that's going to make that's going to make the extortion that takes place every offseason
even more.
But again, I don't know. Like,
it is.
It absolutely is. I just... My feeling on it kind of wavers back and forth all the time. Because it is kind of annoying. But also, if the market says that's what they deserve,
right,
and also knowing what the other guy is getting can be very beneficial. So, I don't know. We'll see how it does impact it. But that's something that started today. There's like a website that you can go to and see who gets what for NIL deals.
Really?
If you want to do that.
Oh, okay.
Which fans will do, and then they'll yell at guys because Zaxby should stop paying you and stuff like that.
Another thing.
Which is, you know. Do what you want to do.
Another thing.
Ra-Ra Thomas is no longer a member of the Georgia football team.
Yeah,
that was just announced earlier today. Not surprising, but they waited until today to say it. Kirby obviously meeting with the media as today is the first day of practice and all of that. That's what had to happen.
Yeah,
And it did.
It had to happen. And when you view it from, you know, when I see – so a kid who gets in trouble after coming with a little baggage, and then you see the suspended indefinitely. It's one of those things where you're like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's more than anything. You had to dismiss this young man and go on about your business, and hopefully, you know, whatever he's going through, he gets it worked out and all those things, and maybe he's able to continue his career somewhere else, maybe the NFL, who knows. But, Kirby and Georgia, they had to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. But it is that time of year. We always talk about, because they play Clemson, is who's going to be there, because they're going to kick the crap out of each other in training camp. That's what Georgia does. They practice hard. They two-spot their practices and everything like that. So you always practicing in Georgia. Ain't no, ones are in there. I'm going to take a break. Nah. Because the twos and the fours at the other end practicing, and the ones. So that's what's usually happening at these practices.
It's nice to be able to say for us, maybe not for them, whatever. They probably like it too as competitors. It's nice to be able to say for us that, okay, this is the best competition they'll face for a while, but it's probably not the only best competition they'll face all year. Remember that last year? It was like, well, the best team Georgia's going to play is themselves in practice until the SEC championship game or the playoff or whatever last year because of what the schedule was. I mean, they got Clemson week one. Now, Georgia is significantly better than Clemson, and they're favored to win that game, and they likely will. But who knows? We'll see what happens when they play. They got Alabama before the end of September.
Yep.
They got Texas in Austin in October.
Yep.
They got Ole Miss on the road. They got a loaded schedule this year, which is just going to be an absolute treat to watch, and they don't even have the hardest schedule in the SEC.
That's crazy.
Other teams have even harder schedules in the SEC.
Yeah.
And just across the board, man, like there's just going to be. And I was listening to Reese Davis and Pete Thamel, their game day podcast this morning, and they were just kind of going through some of that stuff and just kind of, you know it and you're excited for it. But then when they start talking about it and digging into it and just thinking about it, it's like, yeah, Georgia is going to Austin to play Texas in October. God, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Have they ever done that? God.
But
that's just going to be normal now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But
this...
I always view it like this, and I say it like this, and I'm you know, how I feel about my dogs. And it's like, well, hell yeah, we're going there. You know what? I bet they're like, damn, Georgia's coming here. I bet they're feeling like, damn, Georgia's coming
probably.
Here. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, and that's the feeling that you want to have with your team. That's when you have a great football team. And I don't have a lot of questions about this team. My biggest thing is, you know, when you have such a generational go-to guy – that is a game breaker in Brock Bowers. You just don't replace a guy like that, you know. And so it's going to be by committee and all those different things. They still have some really good players. They still have some really, really good tight ends.
Yep.
But he's a generational player and those things like that. And I look at it from, you know, we saw that, bringing in Etienne running backs. Really good player.
Yeah.
Really good player. Just saw Branson Robinson. He's a highly touted freshman. You remember him in that damn championship game 2 years ago, how he was running through people? And then all the high expectation comes.
Like three touchdowns against TCU, didn't he?
He gets hurt, you know,
like that.
Ruptures patella, out for the whole year. He's back right now. Just saw that, no limitations.
It might be, like, obviously with him being healthy and all that kind of stuff, but with Etienne and some of the other guys on the top of that depth chart, it might be the best running back room since Swift. Like, since DeAndre Swift was there.
Like
it's been a minute.
With Swifty and and Chubby and Sony.
I don't know if it's that good.
Oh, I don't know if it's that good. I was like,
but, whoa, whoa. I don't know if it's quite that good.
That was different.
But when those guys left and it was Swift, there was a couple guys behind him, too, that, were really talented players.
Yeah.
But like, you got like dynamic home run hitter in ETN.
Yes.
And then legitimate talent behind them as well. I just remember the last couple of years going into the season, not that there was a lot of doubt or question marks surrounding Georgia, but some of them were like, how's the running back room playing out? And a lot of it last year, remember, was due to injury. Like, guys just kept getting hurt over and over again leading into the year, to the point where it's like, I don't even know who's going to be the leading ball carrier on this team. It worked out. They're still the best team in the country last year. They made it happen. I think my biggest question now is, can the guys on that defensive line, Stackhouse and Brinson, and obviously the talented guys on the edge, can they get back to that level or anywhere near that level that Georgia was at when they were winning back-to-back national championships? And that's the reason they didn't win the national championship last year.
Absolutely.
Was because that defensive line, and most specifically on the interior of that defensive line, just wasn't what it had been. That's also not a criticism of those guys that were there last year, because the guys that had been there before were all first-round draft picks.
Yes, there was five first-rounders on those defensive lines.
Yeah, it was a generationally great two-year run as far as defensive line play goes for Georgia. But these guys have to get back to that level or close to it, I think, in order to do what you want to do, which is win another one.
We said this early this summer, and I remember we said it was like, Georgia's defensive line will determine if they win the national championship.
Yep, it will. Period. Like, Carson Beck could be the number one player drafted in the draft next year, and Georgia still doesn't win the national championship.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we always have this, if this happens, then Georgia wins kind of stuff. But yeah, that's the determining factor, is if that defensive line can be as dominant or as near dominant as they were a couple of years ago. And I think, Michael Walker, or he's Michael Williams?
Michael Williams.
Michael Williams is a guy that could be the number one overall draft pick.
And if
he reaches his potential.
That's the thing about it. If he reaches it, he's going to be one of those. That's how good he is, Andy. I know they're talking about they moved him to a full-time outside linebacker. He's going to be a damn in-the-hand dirt defensive end. That dude is.
Hey, just let him get after the quarterback.
Yes, he's
like they did in the bowl game last year.
He's 6 foot six, like 270.
Yeah.
Athletic and everything?
Yeah.
No. Put his ass on the edge of that tackle and let him go.
Yeah, just let him go get the quarterback.
Don't complicate it. Yeah. Just like Perkins up in LSU.
Yeah. Harold Perkins.
I don't need Harold Perkins curl flat defending.
I'm happy that he can. That's cool. I'm glad that he's versatile. And when they work him out for NFL teams, I'm sure they'll ask him about
it. They'll do that little drill where they'll have the ball in and Harold Perkins will be backpedaling and doing all that stuff.
Great.
But for now,
I'm trying to win SEC football games.
Yes.
Go get the Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, Trillville Thursday. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Get back into some more of what Kirk Cousins had to say on the radio station, some more of what Terry Fontenot had to say to us yesterday as well. And just, all the, and there's a lot of them, interesting storylines going on around all the different training camps. You just threw a pretty intriguing trade scenario.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Involving the wide, because look, it's such a different landscape right now in terms of what these wide receivers are getting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like once a week there's another record-setting wide receiver contract, whether it's the franchise never paid a wide receiver that much or no wide receiver in NFL history has made that much.
Andy, I think I got the stat right. I think it said in 2020 or 2021, it was three receivers that made 20 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 11.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now you got guys making 30 plus.
Yeah, man. It's amazing how that how that market had just flew the way it was.
Yeah.
It was questions somebody asked. They'd be like, what's more important, a franchise wide receiver or a franchise changing pass rusher? I said pass rusher.
And I agree with that.
I
agree with that.
I mean, pass rusher.
Yeah, pass rusher.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Guys that can. Not to say that you don't benefit from great teammates, but like guys that can individually be great. Because you have the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
And you got,
Exactly.
You got Timmy back there throwing it to
him.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I definitely would take the pass rusher.
I would, too.
Over a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so
But the market, the market is
it
about
is
equal.
It is.
About
it is
equal
it is,
on those
man.
Positions right now.
It is. And that's one of those things where, the running back market, it capped. It is going down. Does the receiver market ever cap?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question.
I mean, that's the thing about it. It's like, it's going to keep going up.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the rules are what they are, because the rules aren't going backwards. You know what I mean?
You remember when Matt Ryan got to 30 per year?
Uh-huh.
And now they're at 55?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be more than that, like really soon? Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, it's part of it is certainly the way the league is going with the passing and all that kind of stuff, but it's also just salary cap. Mm-hmm. Like, the salary cap just goes up over and over and over again, and that's not going anywhere, obviously, as these broadcast rights deals keep getting crazier and crazier. Speaking of the market, I want to mention this because we're going to get into some college football, and there's some big Georgia news to get into in just a minute. But they passed an NIL rule that allows the NIL collectives and the athletes, and obviously you have to agree to it, but basically transparency in NIL, mm-hmm. so you can see who's getting what and mm-hmm. where they're getting it from.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial reaction is like, I don't know. Like, if I had an NIL deal, I'd probably just keep it to myself, my business, whatever.
Right.
But then you think about those markets, right? And like, if Jamar Chase didn't know what Justin Jefferson got from Minnesota, he wouldn't know what to ask for.
Right.
So the idea of these guys making their NIL deals public might actually benefit everybody. You know what I mean? Because, okay, so I'm the best wide receiver at my school, and I know the best wide receiver over there is getting this.
Okay.
Well, I want that too, or more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like, because market knowledge allows you to
negotiate.
You think
it's going to get better?
It's probably going to help these guys.
Oh, help them. Oh, I thought you said get better. No, it ain't going to get better. As far as...
Oh, I mean, I'm better for the athlete.
Oh, yeah, better for the athlete.
Better for the athlete.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But better for everything else? No, it's not.
No, that's going to make that's going to make the extortion that takes place every offseason even more. But again, I don't know. Like,
it is.
It absolutely is. I just... My feeling on it kind of wavers back and forth all the time, because it's like, it is kind of annoying, but also if the market says that's what they deserve,
right,
and also knowing what the other guy is getting can be very beneficial. So I don't know, we'll see how it does impact it, but that's something that started today. There's like a website that you can go to and see who gets what for NIL deals.
Really?
If you want to do that.
Oh, okay.
Which fans will do, and then they'll yell at guys because Zaxby should stop paying you and stuff like that.
Another thing.
Which is, you know, do what you want to do.
Another thing.
Ra-Ra Thomas is no longer a member of the Georgia football team.
Yeah,
that was just announced earlier today. Not surprising, but they waited until today to say it. Kirby obviously meeting with the media as today is the first day of practice and all of that. That's what had to happen.
Yeah,
And it did.
It had to happen. And when you view it from, you know, when I see – so a kid who gets in trouble after coming with little baggage, and then you see the suspended indefinitely, it's one of those things where you're like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's more than anything. You had to dismiss this young man and go on about your business, and hopefully, you know, whatever he's going through, he gets it worked out and all those things, and maybe he's able to continue his career somewhere else, maybe the NFL, who knows. But, Kirby and Georgia, they had to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. But it is that time of year. We always talk about, because they play Clemson, is who's going to be there, because they're going to kick the crap out of each other in training camp. That's what Georgia does. They practice hard. They two-spot their practices and everything like that. So you always practicing in Georgia. Ain't no, ones are in there. I'm take a break. Nah. Because the twos and the fours at the other end practicing, and the ones. So that's what's usually happening at these practices.
It's nice to be able to say for us, maybe not for them, whatever. They probably like it too as competitors. It's nice to be able to say for us that, okay, this is the best competition they'll face for a while,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably not the only best competition they'll face all year. Remember that last year? It was like, well, the best team Georgia's going to play is themselves in practice until the SEC championship game or the playoff or whatever last year, because of what the schedule was. I mean, they got Clemson week one. Now, Georgia is significantly better than Clemson, and they're favored to win that game, and they likely will. But who knows? We'll see what happens when they play. They got Alabama before the end of September.
Yep.
They got Texas in Austin in October.
Yep.
They got Ole Miss on the road. They got a loaded schedule this year, which is just going to be an absolute treat to watch, and they don't even have the hardest schedule in the SEC.
That's crazy.
Other teams have harder schedules in the SEC.
Yeah.
And just across the board, man, like there's just going to be. And I was listening to Reese Davis and Pete Thamel, their game day podcast this morning, and they were just kind of going through some of that stuff and just kind of, you know it and you're excited for it. But then when they start talking about it and digging into it and just thinking about it, it's like, Georgia is going to Austin to play Texas in October. God, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Have they ever done that? Like, have they ever? God. But that's just going to be normal now. Yeah. I don't know, man.
But I always feel like this, and I say it like this, and I'm you know, how I feel about my dogs. And it's like, well, hell yeah, we're going there. You know what? I bet they're like, damn, George is coming here. I bet they're feeling like, damn, George.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, that's probably. And that's the feeling that you want to have with your team. That's right. When you have a great football team. And I don't have a lot of questions about this team. My biggest thing is, you know, when you have such a generational go-to guy that is a game breaker in Brock Bowers, you got to, I mean, that you just don't replace a guy like that, you know. And so it's going to be by committee and all those different things. They still have some really good players. They still have some really, really good tight ends.
Yep.
But he's a generational player and those things like that. And I look at it from, you know, we saw that, you know, they're bringing in Etienne running backs. Really good player.
Yeah.
Really good player. Just saw Branson Robinson. He's, you remember, a highly touted freshman. You remember him in that damn championship game 2 years ago, how he was running through people and then all the high expectation comes.
Like three touchdowns against TCU, didn't he?
He gets hurt, you know,
something like that.
Ruptures his patella, out for the whole year. He's back right now. Just saw that, no limitations.
It might be, like, obviously with him being healthy and all that kind of stuff, but with Etienne and some of the other guys on the top of that depth chart, it might be the best running back room since Swift. Like, since DeAndre Swift was there. Like it's been a minute.
With Swifty and Chubby and Sony?
I don't know if it's that good.
Oh,
I don't know
if it's that good. I was like, whoa, boy.
But, I don't know if it's quite that good.
That was different.
But when those guys left and it was Swift, there was a couple guys behind him, too, that were really talented players.
Yeah.
But, like, you got, like, dynamic home run hitter in ETN.
Yes.
And then legitimate talent behind him as well. I just remember the last couple of years going into the season, not that there was a lot of doubt or question marks surrounding Georgia, but some of them were, like, how's the running back room playing out? And a lot of it last year, remember, was due to injury. Like, guys just kept getting hurt over and over again leading into the year, to the point where it's like, I don't even know who's going to be the leading ball carrier on this team. It worked out. They're still the best team in the country last year. They made it happen. I think my biggest question now is, can the guys on that defensive line, Stackhouse and Brinson, and obviously the talented guys on the edge, can they get back to that level or anywhere near that level that Georgia was at when they were winning back-to-back national championships? And that's the reason they didn't win the national championship last year.
Absolutely.
Was because that defensive line, and most specifically on the interior of that defensive line, just wasn't what it had been. That's also not a criticism of those guys that were there last year, because the guys that had been there before were all first-round draft picks.
Yes, there was five first-rounders on those defensive lines.
Yeah, it was a generationally great two-year run as far as defensive line play goes for Georgia. But these guys have to get back to that level or close to it, I think, in order to do what you want to do, which is win another one.
We said this early this summer, and I remember we said it was like, Georgia's defensive line will determine if they win the national championship this year.
Yep, it will. Period. Like, Carson Beck could be the number one player drafted in the draft next year, and Georgia still doesn't win the national championship.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we always have this, if this happens, then Georgia wins kind of stuff. But yeah, that's the determining factor, is if that defensive line can be as dominant or as near dominant as they were a couple of years ago. And I think, like, I mean, Michael Walker, or he's Michael Williams?
Michael Williams.
Michael Williams is a guy that could be the number one overall draft pick.
And
if he reaches his potential.
Because that's the thing about it. If he reaches it, he's going to be one of those. That's how good he is, Andy. I know they're talking about they moved him to a full-time outside linebacker. He's going to be a damn in-the-hand dirt defensive end. That dude is.
Just let him get after the quarterback.
Yes, he's
like they did in the bowl game last year.
He's 6 foot six, like 270.
Yeah.
Athletic and everything? Yeah. No. Put his ass on the edge of that tackle and let him go.
Yeah, just let him go get the quarterback.
Just like, don't complicate it. Yeah. Just like Perkins up in LSU.
Yeah. Harold Perkins.
I don't need Harold Perkins curl flat defending.
I'm happy that he can. That's cool. I'm glad that he's versatile. And when they work him out for NFL teams, I'm sure they'll ask him.
They'll do that little drill where they'll have the ball in it, and Harold Perkins will be backpedaling and doing all that stuff.
Great.
But for now,
I'm trying to win SEC football games.
Yes.
Go get the quarterback. Okay.
You see that guy that him. Go get him.
Yeah. Get him. Eat him alive. I know.
Messed that up.
I don't know.
How did LSU mess up that with that boy?
He was at this time last year, we're like, he's probably the best defensive player in the whole conference.
Yes.
And then like a month in, we're like,
what the hell is
he
at?
Hurt? Like, has he played?
How What's the
he
been hell doing? Do you mess that up?
I don't know. But getting too cute, that's how.
Yeah, man.
Get too cute for your own good.
Man, that cuteness thing.
You gotta be tough, not cute.
Hey, dude. Any day of the week.
Any day of the week.
Any day of the week. I'd rather be tough than cute.
Me too.
Hey, man, you can be an ugly tough guy and still get women.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like you're cute.
Cute and soft?
That, cute and soft?
Nah,
women don't want you.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
They're not interested.
I'm telling you.
They're not interested in that. Says. Say it
with your knuckles. As long as you keep his haircut fresh, you got a chance.
Yeah, like, and walk around with confidence.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Open a door. You know what I mean? You're good. Amazing. That's as cute as you got to get.
Amazing.
All right? Be a gentleman. A tough one. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.